This is the business of sports.
Should Major League Baseball shorten up the season?
How do we present football to the audience of the future?
I don't think that most players understand the power that they have.
Michael Barr.
The future of IndyCar racing is looking bright.
Scott Soschnick.
Very basic math here. More bidders means more money.
Evan Novy-Williams.
The team value has essentially quadrupled.
And the leaders in the sports industry.
Time to bring in our guest, Hal Steinbrenner.
National Hockey League Commissioner Gary Bettman.
Atlanta Braves President Derek Schiller.
Patriots President Jonathan Kraft.
Bloomberg Business of Sports.
From Bloomberg Radio.
Hello, I'm Michael Barr.
I'm Evan Novy-Williams.
And I'm Scott Soschnick. Over the next hour, we will explore the big money issues in the world of sports and talk to some of the biggest players in the industry.
Today, a conversation with XFL Commissioner and CEO Oliver Luck on the upcoming launch of the league.
We think it's the right time because we think there's a void, quite honestly, in the lives of a lot of people who love football, who are very passionate about the game.
We'll have more from our conversation with XFL Commissioner Oliver Luck in a few minutes. But first, let's look at some of the top stories of the week. And let's start with Urban Meyer is still the coach at Ohio State. And he talked about his retirement.
I'm honored to have represented my home state and this great university the past seven seasons. I want to thank Buckeye Nation, our students and faculty, our state high school coaches, Gene Smith for giving this opportunity, my awesome family, and most importantly, our staff and student athletes for all they've done during this time.
And everyone in the world who's ever been so nice to me for the cuddly goodness that is the Ohio State University and the trombone guy or gal who always dotted the I. Who says goodbye to the professor that's been there 30 darn years, taught who knows how many Rhodes Scholars, whatever? Well, I'm great. He beat Michigan every time, right? Undefeated against Michigan. I guess that's what you need to do if you're at Ohio State. I don't care about this
aren't
stuff.
Aren't you the fly in the
you
suit?
You know what? He made
week.
A lot of money for the university. It was a front porch. Let's not just gloss over. There were some problems that followed Urban Meyer around. Didn't mention those, did he? Did he mention the suspension? Did he mention any of that?
Not only did he not mention any of that, he, when the Buckeyes were in contention to be the number four spot in the playoff,
yeah, we deserve.
One of the reasons why he said they deserve it is because they've gone through an emotional
adversity.
Year.
They overcame things this year that you caused.
So Urban Meyer retiring, I think people within the college football world not incredibly surprised. I think given, you know, the trouble that he had off the field earlier this year regarding an assistant coach of his and his domestic violence and the role that Urban did or did not play in covering it up, plus health issues that he's had. You know, he has not been shy about the fact that he has a brain cyst. He had surgery a number of years ago. He has certainly looked like he's been in pain on the sideline. You know, it became time. He says he's not going to coach again. This is eerily similar to what we heard when he left Florida a number of years ago, and less than 18 months later, he popped up at a higher-paying job. I would not rule out Urban Meyer being on a sideline in 2020 or 2021 at a school like USC, for example.
Yeah, we talk about the players and do they or don't they deserve money, that whole thing. We know it's a billion-dollar industry. If part of whatever change that we see come to college sports is the elimination, the obstruction, the napalming of this mythic, all-powerful coach, more powerful than university president. What I say goes, call me coach. Don't ever second guess what I've done. If part of this change is the elimination of that personality, this is not aimed at any one person, but that personality, then thank God, because I just can't stand it.
Ryan Day, his replacement, by the way, $4.5
million
a year.
Yeah, $4.5 million already.
Not bad for a guy who's only been a head coach for one or two games.
Well, USA Today came out, I know we're a little segue here, but USA Today came out with like how many strength coaches are now over $1 million a year?
A lot.
A lot of assistant coaches, strength coaches. Yeah, I mean, somebody's getting paid. The money has to go somewhere. And if it's not going to the labor force, I'll leave it at that. We know it goes elsewhere.
Last game will be the Rose Bowl for Urban Meyer, which brings us to this topic. There are a lot of players skipping bowl games.
Yeah, it's a trend that's becoming more and more popular. Some of the big names, Ed Oliver at Houston, who's possibly a top three or four pick in the NFL draft. Greedy Williams at LSU, hell of a name, by the way. 2 years ago, when this was McCaffrey and Leonard Fournette, you know, college fans were up in arms. How dare they abandon their team at the most important game of the year?
Smartest guys in the room.
That has changed significantly. I think fans and people within college sports on the administration athletic side now realize this is not worth it. The risk reward here, they're on the verge of $1 million contracts.
I'm going off memory here, Evan, so help me. Was it Willis McGahee who got hurt?
Yeah, in the Fiesta Bowl.
Okay,
yeah.
So I mean, that knee injury was just awful. And boy, if any player who looked at that and didn't say, "I've got to protect myself," I'm sorry. Yeah, these are business decisions.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the USA Gymnastics and bankruptcy, the key word, Chapter 11. What's up?
Yeah, the big latest in this whole saga, USA Gymnastics, the governing body for gymnastics, this week declared bankruptcy, filed for Chapter 11. There's a few different layers to this. One, they're being sued by a lot of different victims of Larry Nassar, somewhere between over 300 people. Those are lawsuits that they may end up having to pay out $100 million, if not more. That is not an amount of money that USA Gymnastics has. They lost all their sponsors, which was one of their big revenue drivers. Their membership is really the only way money's coming in right now. The assets they listed on their Chapter 11, $6.5 million, right?
There's not enough money there. Yeah.
So that's part one. Part two, once you declare back Chapter 11, it's harder to kind of go through the traditional suing process. Discovery gets halted, et cetera. So this is also an attempt to get out from underneath a lot of these lawsuits. And the third part, which we talked about a few weeks ago, the USOC is trying to decertify USA Gymnastics, essentially make them lose their status as the national governing body for the sport. This is also an attempt in some ways to possibly stave off that decision.
Now let's get to this week's interview with Oliver Luck. He is, of course, the new commissioner and CEO of the XFL. Luck is leaving his role at the NCAA to run the XFL, which is preparing to launch in 2020. Oliver, thank you very much for coming in.
You're welcome, Scott. Happy to be here.
Busy these days?
Yeah, we got a few things going on, but it's all good.
But there's a lot going on. I mean, you are building a league, a business from scratch. But earlier this week, some big announcements that the fans will really care about. We've got some venues. You got to play somewhere, right?
Absolutely right. So we did announce our 8 inaugural cities and the venues. We're going to be in Seattle, Los Angeles, in Houston and Dallas, St. Louis, Tampa, Washington, D.C., of course, and
I wanted
New York.
To bet whether you could do them all by memory.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's only 8.
Hey, I would have struggled with 4, so 8 is good.
I always go sort of west to east. You know, for some reason, that makes it a little bit easier. But yeah, that's obviously very, very important. It's one of the sort of cornerstone things you have to do when you launch a league. But what's really cool is, you know, every day I feel like I've got this lump of clay, and I'm molding it just a little bit every day as we sort of progress and build this league, both from a football perspective as well as, you know, from a business perspective. Obviously, sports is a business. We have to, you know, keep a sharp eye on all of that as well.
Is it really sad, pathetic, weird that I got the movie Ghost going through my head right now?
Yes, it is. You're very sad and pathetic and weird.
But as Evan knows, weird things come through my head. Should I not have told all of that?
Just hear clay and go right there.
There we go. Take it away, Evan.
Well, let's talk about some of these decisions. Timing, first off. Starts in 2020, you know, February
8th and 9th, which is the weekend right after the Super Bowl in 2020. Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us about why, you know, that first weekend after the Super Bowl is the right time to launch this.
Sure. So, you know, we think it's the right time because we think there's a void, quite honestly, in the lives of a lot of people who love football, who are very passionate about the game. You know, based on all the research we've done, we think there are, you know, 80-some million football fans in this country, but about half of those are diehards. They're passionate. And they want more football, and they'll pay for more football in the sense of going to games, you know, watching on television. It has to be good quality football. It's got to be crisp, right? And to be very honest, back in 2001, XFL 1.0, the football wasn't all that good, and as a result, that league didn't make it.
But the nicknames were great.
Nicknames were pretty cool.
He Hate Me endured. Amazingly, that's
Rod Smart.
What
I know.
Rod's,
yeah.
You know, Rod Smart was a good football player. He played for the Panthers in one of the Super Bowls,
yeah.
Right? Good,
yeah.
Good, a very good player. And, but he's known for He Hate Me.
Right, but is there a lesson in that endured while the rest seemed to flop?
There certainly is. I'm not sure what the lesson is, but no, there absolutely is a lesson in there. And that was one. And there were some other very creative things done. You know, this whole spider cam thing that now, you know, floats around hovers around all the stadiums. That was an XFL NBC sort of innovation back in 2001. So there are some cool things that were done. But the most critical piece, which is good crisp, I like the word crisp football, is very important. And we have to do that. And that wasn't the case back in 01. So that's really all that we're doing, everything we're building is sort of leading up to playing good, entertaining, crisp football coming out of the chute in 2020.
So the product unmistakably is football. How do you kind of toe the line between, I assume you don't want the product to be exactly like the NFL. How do you kind of find the innovations without kind of sacrificing the crisp vastness of the game.
Yeah, there's a lot of nuance, right, in that. I mean, the NFL game's pretty darn good. I mean, last time I checked, you know, there were some pretty good TV ratings and lots of people buying tickets to go to games. So the product of the NFL is, I think, very good. There are, though, some things that people complain about. They complain about the length of the game. You know, sometimes it's 3 hours and 45 minutes. They complain about the stoppages and sort of the lack of rhythm and flow. So those are the areas where we've kind of honed in on and said, let's try to figure out how to make it better, quite honestly. So, you know, our rule book will be very similar to the NFL's. We'll probably have anywhere from 6 to 8 to maybe 10 differences. But when folks turn a game on and watch it, they'll see 11-on-11 football with running and tackling and kicking and blocking and fumbling and intercepting and all those things that we've come to know and love. They'll see those things, and it won't be that much different ultimately from what the product they see in the National Football League.
There was something in the original league that I loved. There was kind of like the helmet cam.
Yeah.
And I had never seen that before from the perspective of the player. And here it is right on TV. Are we bringing that back also?
So we're looking at all sorts of technological advances that we can sort of bake into our game. And that includes both audio, which is, I think, something that's been underrated. I get asked as an old quarterback all the time, hey, what do people talk about in the huddle? Can we hear that as a fan? You know, what are you, making your dinner reservations? Or
Omaha became a thing.
Yeah, it became a thing. And that was on the line of scrimmage, but in the huddle, right? Yeah. Or the communication between a head coach and the quarterback, right? You see him on the games, you know, the guys put their hands over their ear holes there to, you know, not to be disturbed by the crowd. So that kind of access, right? And that's a key word for us, access of giving the fans what maybe they can't get in an NFL game or can't get in a major college football game. We think that's important.
We are chatting with Oliver Luck, the CEO and the commissioner of the XFL. And I was told years ago, the story came out, but we didn't see it in the huddle. I think it was Tom Brady, like crucial moment in Super Bowl, like final drive. And he's in the huddle, and he pointed to the big screen and said, hey, look, John Candy's here. And that sort of got everybody calm.
Calmed him down.
And like, at that moment, the players in the huddle said, I knew we were going to win.
Yeah.
There was no pressure. It was just, hey, look, John Candy.
Well, you know, you don't expect this, but there's a lot of humor in sport, right? But it never makes it to the fan because it's, you know, it's either on the sideline or it's between a coach and a quarterback during a conversation or coach and any other player or in the huddle, or, you know, or between the offensive and defensive linemen before the snap. And so we're going to try to capture as much of that as we can without sort of any way impugning the integrity of the
game. Tiger and Phil showed that kind of works. People want to get closer.
Exactly.
Stepped on Evan.
Wouldn't you have loved to have heard the conversation between Thielen and Bill Belichick in the game this past weekend? Right? You know, everybody's asking, well, what did Bill say? Well,
please,
I'm not sure.
Please.
But that's the kind of stuff that we think we can capture and you know, serve up to our fans and give them access. The access is a very important word for us.
Have a 7-second delay because
depends on who the broadcaster is. We'll get there.
Are there properties out there that you look at from a sports media standpoint and you say, oh, these guys are doing? You know, these guys are doing it well.
You know, I think there are a lot of leagues that are getting it right and are sort of trying to open up the access a little bit. I think what the NFL has done is pretty darn good. I mean, it's the king of the roost, right? It's doing remarkably well. Like what the NBA has done, you know, with some of those conversations on the bench, right? Those little 30-second timeouts, those are fun.
I'm going back 20 years, and I remember it was controversial when the NBA said, we're going to put a camera in the locker room at halftime.
Yeah.
And then the players' union went nuts, and that's an invasion, and we have to negotiate what if something. Now, of course, it's no-brainer.
This just might be me, but I like that when they show these guys walking off the bus before the game into the locker room.
It's become
I think
a fashion
it's,
show.
It's, yeah, no, it's big, that's kind of cool, right? It's really sort of interesting, and I think the guys like it, and that's important.
It's an ability to monetize there, too, by the way.
Well, absolutely.
That's an important space and inventory that has not been fully monetized.
Yeah, well, just wait. It won't take long.
That's how I get my fashion tips when I watch the people coming
Cam
in.
Cam Newton
the
over here. Yeah.
Michael is rather... Nobody got a white shirt on, almost white shirt today? Normally you're in the pastels, buddy.
Usually you'll see me in you know, the pastel stuff, but I'm going like choir boy today.
So we like to hear it. Well, how about not choir boy? See, we make some news here. How would Oliver Luck, commissioner of XFL, handle what we're seeing in the NFL right now with the Kansas City Chiefs running back?
Yeah, it's a bad situation. You know, I think at the end of the day, with domestic violence, right, in particular, you've got to have a zero tolerance policy. I'm not sure there's any... you know, way around that. So I don't know the specifics, quite honestly, of what was alleged and all that. But, you know, anything to do with domestic violence is toxic. And you know, in a sense, even though, you know, I think we're all sort of people that like the idea of redemption and second chances, I'm not sure that there's much you can do with a second chance in terms of domestic violence.
Regardless what happened before that, one, obviously, you don't touch another person. That's obvious. But more importantly, people like a Kareem Hunt have a lot to lose, because you have to remember, you're in the National Football League. You're representing the brand. So if you react, especially when you're on video reacting, you have a lot to lose. And I guess that's a lesson I hope that a lot of people...
Well, I hope the other lesson for football players is don't lie to your team.
Right.
Right? I mean, the cover-up's always worse than the crime, right? in all facets of life. So never lie to your team. I mean, you know, you got to come clean. Because that may be your only opportunity. Look at Ray Rice, your only opportunity to make it in the professional, in the sports world. And that's important. You don't want to waste that.
When you think about the Venn diagram of NFL fans and future XFL fans, how tightly overlapped are they? Are you going after NFL fans, or do you think there's kind of a pocket of football fans that aren't NFL fans that might become XFL fans?
So I think we're really targeting, you know, those passionate fans. And I think a lot of those passionate fans are season ticket holders for NFL teams, right? And, you know, so I believe that, you know, a significant chunk of our fan base will come from folks who just want to watch more football. They like it. It's what they do on
the weekend.
I don't
know what else to do on Sunday.
Well, there's a little bit of that, you know. And so I do think that we'll have NFL season ticket holders, diehard fans that come support us. I also think because we're trying to be very family affordable with our prices, and going to an NFL game can get a little bit pricey, right? So I think we will have a group of folks who may not be able to take a family of four or six or five or whatever, or a bunch of guys or, you know, girls going to a ball game. I think we'll be able to attract that crowd as well. And that's, quite honestly, good for the game, right? Because you want people to sort of enjoy the experience of being in stadium and you know, rooting live for a team and watching good football.
Do you value the in-stadium experience over the at-home experience for those who were there? Obviously, the technological innovation surely drives the media component at home.
Sure.
However, where do you view technology in the stadium? I always point to the Duke student section during basketball games. I mean, that is a tech-friendly crowd right there. But for the 2 hours there in Cameron, they're watching the court.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think what I like to call, my wife likes to call, collective effervescence is what draws people to watch sporting events,
collective,
right?
Collective effervescence.
You like that? Yeah.
It's like
collective
pop ginger ale all at once.
No, but I mean, think about it, right? There's nothing quite like the roar, you know, of the crowd when you're watching a game. And of course,
if you're not looking down at your phone.
Well, that's right. That's right. So, you know, we've got to balance that, obviously. But the in-stadium experience, I think, is very, very important. We'll do a number of tech things that are really only going to be available to in-stadium folks. And once, obviously, all this sort of online wagering, sports wagering, gambling gets going, I think you'll see some of that, you know, in these venues as well, which will be kind of interesting. But we think the in-stadium experience is pretty good. Think of WWE and what a great job they do with their in-stadium, in-arena experience with their events.
If only there was a connection between the XFL and the WWE. Remember the Osbournes, that show? You know why it worked? For me, it worked because at some point, I think everybody wondered, man, imagine being Ozzy Osbourne's kid. And then they showed you what it's like to be Ozzy Osbourne's kid.
Yeah,
What's it like to work for Vince? I mean, are you recording the whole making of the NFL? Is this going to be content for you guys later on?
It will be. There'll be, I'm sure, a documentary that will sort of, you know, document, right, the strategies and all the executions that we're going through. So WWE does a remarkable job of telling stories, telling the narrative. They create the narrative.
Create characters, create narrative.
And that's cool. It's a little bit different in traditional league sports like the XFL or any of the other leagues, but There's some real capabilities that we're leaning on with WWE that are going to help us enormously.
And give me just your best anecdote of Vince the Boss.
Oh, Vince the Boss. You know, he beat me up pretty easily. So, you know what I mean? Like, I'm an old football player, and I think I keep in decent shape, but I'd be match for Vince.
What's that walk call? What's that? Remember there's that gif where McMahon has got that walk where his arms are flailing around.
Yeah,
comes with a certain amount of bravado.
He is quite the American entrepreneur. It's a great American success story. You think about even our league, right? The XFL, we're providing jobs for people. You know, players that wouldn't otherwise have a job in the football space, or coaches or staff members, referees, God forbid, right? We're providing them additional work. That's sort of a good American entrepreneurial story, which I think sometimes gets overlooked.
When you think about the health of the players that play football, obviously a topic you know a lot about. You played, your son Andrew, starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. The original XFL, I think, went a little on the more physical side than the NFL. How do you see the new XFL kind of differing from how the NFL approaches player safety?
I think it's a different world today than it was 2001 in terms of health and safety. We know a hell of a lot more, right, about brain trauma and CTE and all those other, you know, things. So we want to make sure that all the innovations that we do don't have a negative effect on the health and safety, particularly on the brain health of our players. And I think that's something that everybody is doing, I think, with a pretty good level of good faith, right? I think the NFL has sort of embraced this topic and said, we got to figure this out. It's still going to be a contact / collision game. We get that. But I think it's very important that we look at the health and safety of our players and make sure we're doing as much as we possibly can. That includes practice. That includes obviously games. So I said to Vince when he was recruiting me for the position, I said, you know, I don't think the American public will support a league that doesn't have serious protocols for health and safety. I think we're at that point now where you just can't sort of close your eyes and wish it away. It's real. And if we want the game to continue to be as popular as it is, and it's at an all-time peak, I think, in popularity, we have to take it seriously. And that's been done, I think, by the NFL, by major college ball and all the way down to Division II and III. It's something that we take pretty seriously.
We're talking with Oliver Luck, the CEO and commissioner of the XFL. And I have to ask, because your son, Andrew, for people who don't know, Andrew Luck, he's the quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. And bless his heart, he went through a tough time last year because he had some injuries he had to go through. Did you talk to him about that? And can you share with us what it's like when you're a starting quarterback and you go through some tough times like that? Can you share with us how that was all about?
It was a challenging time for him, and as by extension for our whole family, right? His girlfriend, and he's got three siblings, and for my wife and me, he's like all these quarterbacks, right? He's competitive, he's driven, and when you can't play, you're in an awful mood. Yeah. And he was in a bad mood, right? Because he basically did rehab for a year after the labrum surgery. As he likes to say, he it's a chance to sort of really reflect in a very deep way about who you are and what you are. And he looked into the abyss because there was a point where, he wasn't sure if he could ever throw the ball again without, serious pain. So I'm delighted. My wife and I were delighted that he's back and able to play and throw and play pretty well. And we're really pleased because he's in a much better mood. It wasn't much fun last year at Thanksgiving. This year he was great. And that does matter, right? Because these are all people at the end of the day. It's a cliche we say this, but they're all people at the end of the day.
Easy on Andrew. As someone who has undergone the surgery on this reconstructive surgery on the labrum and the rotator cuff, Eben can attest there were days where I was just laying on the floor just wishing to pull my arm 3 inches, and that was a success story. So
Andrew could show up and work at sweatpants, though.
I showed
not
up.
Not be ridiculed. Yeah,
I had 3 months of sweatpants.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was great.
That's awesome.
I tried to, even when I was healthy, I tried to keep it going. A few people called me out.
You milked it.
I milked it. A few people called me out on it. Tell me about the media component. And we're chatting with Oliver Luck, the CEO and commissioner of the XFL. Media is a big part of revenue for these leagues, and
absolutely,
who you're talking to over the top is all the rage these days. Are you going to go linear, OTT? Where do we fall in the paradigm of sports media?
So we think exposure is critically important at this point. That's
the linear,
right? And we've got a big focus on linear, both broadcast and cable, right? They're not dead yet. They're still doing fairly well. So we've had some really positive discussions with broadcasters, quite honestly, that are broadcasting NFL games, right?
Sure.
And so we're probably a couple weeks away from making some pretty significant announcements. We think we'll have an awesome, and I hate to overuse that word, but an awesome linear package. We're talking to some OTT folks as well. We may end up doing that ourselves, quite honestly. We may do that in conjunction with one of our linear broadcasters. WWE's got an incredible platform. They've got an awesome platform, and they're building, I guess, really 2.0. It won't be available for a couple of years now, but there's a lot of expertise in broadcast, right? Generally speaking, and production, on the WWE side of our business. So we're excited about that. I think that we'll have a package where people will say, "Wow, that's pretty darn good for a league that hasn't yet taken a snap."
Off air, we were talking about research and development.
Yep.
And how little of it is done in professional sports, whereas in the larger world, especially tech, it's a big percentage of revenue would go towards R&D and what's next and keeping ahead. What are you guys doing to be ahead in football.
So we've sat down and tried to reimagine the game. All those things that people complain about. The game's pretty good, by and large. People love it. Look at the ratings, right? But there are things that people complain about, how long the game is, you know, the number of stoppages and the referees, 3-4 minutes.
Particularly around scores. It's like score, timeout, kickoff, timeout, commercial.
Exactly. And that I mean, if you go to a game live, you know, you don't realize because there's nothing else to look at. Right? You don't realize how much dead time there is.
I took my 12-year-old to a Patriots game, and that's what it was actually injury – touchdown, kickoff, that, and he actually looked at me, a 12-year-old, and said, "Can we go home? This is boring." That's a huge problem. That's real.
It's real. Yeah, so that's one of the things we're trying to address. So we've got probably 8 to 10, to maybe even a dozen sort of ideas of doing things a little bit differently than the NFL or major college ball. And what we want to do is test those out with guys in uniform. So this week we're down in Mississippi working with a number of JUCOs. Their season's over,
For those who don't know the vernacular, that's junior college.
Junior college, correct. Thank you very much. I love to say JUCO.
Everybody loves JUCO.
It should be a word, right?
I'll even say San Jack.
San Jack, San Jacinto, great junior college.
That's right. Harvey, St. John's.
Yeah, East Houston. Yeah, so it's a great baseball program and a pretty good soccer program, by the way, as well. Don't play football at San Jack.
I knew the best.
And that's short for San Jacinto.
San Jacinto.
Which was the battle that determined the fate of Texas, actually the Republic of Texas, and then, of course, the state of Texas. All right,
back to singing Dulcinea. You were singing Don Quixote, and by the way, one might even say a bit quixotic trying to start this league
that
again.
That is a good sort of segue. I like that. Yeah, we were talking about the Man of La Mancha and Don Quixote and Sancho Panza.
Michael Barr, you came up with your build was a little Sancho Panza.
So anyway, long story short.
Look it up, brother.
Long story short, we're trying to get guys in uniform that are doing a lot of these things. We think we have a different kickoff, for example, that actually keeps the kickoff return in the game because it's sort of fading away. Nobody's rallying to save the kickoff. We think we have an idea that could work. That's also better health and safety wise, and we're actually going to test it, and that's important because we don't want to do something that's sort of stupid and then look silly, right? We want to test it, make sure there's no unintended consequences. I won't tell you the details of it. You'll have to watch week one, but that's how we want to sort of approach this idea of reimagining the game.
Are they doing the coin flip race like we saw 18 years ago?
That was headed right at each other.
That was called the scramble. For the sake of affordable workers' compensation rates in our various states. We're not going to do the scramble. It's just one more injury you don't want to pay for.
I have to ask real quick. To some fans in the NFL, and some teams aren't doing very well, like a certain Detroit Lions fan that I know.
He gets Detroit into every show.
When you're a $600 question on Jeopardy, we're the only NFL team in the to never make the Super Bowl. Come on, man. It's like, what I'm getting at is I want to see the XFL now. Because I want to see, maybe if I can't get enough of football this way in the NFL, I can get enough football in the XFL.
Well, I think we can sate your need. Is that the right way to say that?
Yeah, it is.
I like it.
So we think it's fun. I mean, listen.
By the way, Michael Barr's insatiable.
we think it can be a fun game, right? We think that the pool of talent out there, right? And set aside, we're not going to have Aaron Rodgers or whomever playing in our league, but the pool of talent out there is broader and deeper than it's ever been. And that's a tribute to the colleges, who are producing, more better players, as I like to say, right? Because you got conditioning, you got strength and, performance coaches, you've got nutrition experts, you got all this stuff that didn't exist 20 years ago. The players are significantly better. Go watch an old, even like a team like the Steelers back in the, 70s and 80s, right. Watch how much better today's current version of the Pittsburgh Steelers are than what you saw with Bradshaw and Swan. As good as those guys were.
Where's Chuck when you need him?
Let's talk talent, actually, real quick. You mentioned, we're not going to have Aaron Rodgers. We're not going to have Andrew Luck in the XFL immediately. But when you think about 5-10 years down the line, is the end goal to have a choice for top players between these two leagues? What does success kind of look like for you guys looking long-term future?
So I think success is really building up this league and making it sustainable. We don't want to be a developmental league, right, mm-hmm. for the National Football League. Having said that, almost any league that's not called the NFL will be considered by a lot of fans as sort of developmental. Kid plays well in our league, and he'll have a chance to accept an NFL opportunity. So I think success is really building up the brand of our league. I like to always ask this sort of rhetorical question. What if Rutgers and Princeton 149 years ago played their first little football game in March? when we have the fall for football, right? It's sort of a historical accident.
People may not know those first college football.
Yeah, first college football game, 149 years ago. Soon to,
we keep impressing you on this show, don't
we? You guys are you're hard to get. We think that you can play football in the fall and the spring too, right? And you can play it well, and you can play it in an entertaining fashion. What if the USFL had sort of, maintained some decision-making discipline and stayed in the spring? That would be probably a pretty valuable sports property today. So I think that's sort of what Vin sees. That's sort of what I see, sort of what I think a lot of football fans see. Because they like football. They like to watch it. And we're going to offer, I think, a pretty good game.
Oliver Luck, CEO and commissioner of the XFL. Thank you so much. I want to see this product because I always thought the XFL, the original product, was fun. And now rolling out the next version, I think it's going to be even better. Thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks, guys.
Time for takeaways. Let's talk about Oliver Luck and, of course, his son, Andrew Luck. And it was interesting about the mindset about Andrew Luck when he went through his injuries. I get it why he was grumpy. He wants to play football.
Well, my takeaway is always back to the innovation. They've got to give me something new. This can't be football like we're used to on Sundays. They've got to give me something new. While, by the way, his stressing the player's safety, I just don't know if the public is down for safe football. I guess we're about to find out.
I think it's interesting that the XFL seems to be going after NFL fans. We've seen other of these pop-up leagues try to go in places where the NFL isn't. Look at the XFL cities: New York, Dallas, Houston, LA, St. Louis, Seattle, Tampa Bay. All of those are NFL cities. They're clearly trying to capitalize on NFL's popularity.
That's like a little Huey Lewis thing there. Chicago, San Francisco to nothing? No?
Yeah.
Nobody? Okay. Okay. A really talented producer would have had that song ready to go. Everywhere there's music, real live music.
Yeah, I think that was pretty talented right there, man.
Still that same old rock and roll rhythm. They say the harder. Nothing, Eben?
No.
My goal is to be the number one pick. That's something I've been dreaming of since a kid.
It feels better to be number one than number five.
I wear the number because of Mike.
We have a chance to go for three in a row.
Good numbers at a good time.
When I first started wearing that number, I was just happy and proud.
Bloomberg Business of Sports, the number of the week.
Time now for the number of the week. I'm going to do this just like a game show. 34,798.
Lower.
A new car.
See, you and I discussed, so I'm just going to leave it up to Edmund. He's a one-man guessing
creator. I have no idea. Is that a dollar figure?
No. Isn't Bar a big teddy bear? Isn't Bar a big teddy bear?
A big teddy bear.
Given as good a clue as I can.
Could have just slapped up the answer.
Minor league hockey.
The teddy bear toss. Remember that?
Hershey Bears. They do it every year. It's a tradition. Holiday time. The fans, when the Bears score their first goal.
How did I not get that?
It's the teddy bear toss. The video was all over the place.
I don't even know what the number is. The amount of teddy bears?
Yes, the number of teddy bears that the fans came and you have to go see the video. If you have not seen it, go Google Hershey Bears teddy bear toss. This is like just an epic flood of teddy bears filling the ice. It's a pretty cool video and a great thing to do because they then distribute it to
needy kids.
And
they donated
it
to... Yeah. Okay.
You've been listening to the Bloomberg Business of Sports. We are here each and every week at the same time, plus online as a podcast. You can catch that Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. I'm Michael Barr on Twitter at Big Barr Sports.
I'm Evan Novi Williams at Novi_Williams.
And I'm Scott Soschnick. You can follow me on Twitter at Soschnick. And thank you very much for joining us. Please tune in next week when we continue to speak with the biggest and brightest in the sports business industry.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business of Sports and Bloomberg Radio around the world and online, where our podcast is available.
D.C., San Antonio, and the Liberty Town, Boston and up.